Well, it's a privilege to be able to open up God's Word with you tonight. This is the last of our holiday sermons. Starting next week, we're going to be getting into Romans. So if you haven't already grabbed your daily reading notes, they're up the back. Please grab one. And tonight, we're doing a topical sermon on union with Christ. Now, why are we doing union with Christ? And why a topical sermon? Well, then, as we get into Romans 6 to 8, this is a foundation for so much of the chapters that we've been united with Jesus. And we thought it would be great to just spend one night just looking at it, just trying to get our heads around it as we go to jump into Romans. Now, union with Christ, have you thought much about it? We are in Jesus. Jesus is in us. I've died, the Bible says, because Jesus died. But yet I'm still kind of here. So how have I died? How does it work? As I've tried to think about it this week, it's hurt my brain. But it's been heaps good. And I'm heaps better for it now. And I want to praise God even more for what he's done in light of these truths that are found in the Bible. So I hope that's the same for you tonight. As we get into union with Christ and how we're in him and what that means for us, I hope it makes you want to praise God even more for what he's done and what we have in Jesus. And this doctrine as well, it's so wide and there's so many aspects of it. Tonight, I'm just going to look at one of those aspects. I want to look at the freedom that we have in Christ, how he sets us free. Now, this doctrine, it helps us to change. It gives us hope with whatever we're struggling with, what we're feeling enslaved to. In Christ, freedom is found. If you're feeling enslaved to something, you can be free because of Jesus. I'm just going to ask God for some help before I keep going. Lord, I just pray that you would help me tonight to be clear as we look at your word and these great truths. And I pray for all of us here. And as your truths are shown and seen in the scriptures, I just ask your spirit would come and apply them to our lives. May we take comfort and hope that we are in Christ. And may that help us to change, to better serve you, Lord, and to praise you more. Amen. So tonight, it's a topical sermon, but my base is going to be Colossians 2 and 3. But then I'll be going to other texts as well. So please start with me in Colossians chapter 2. Verse 1, I'm going to go to, in verse 1 here, Paul, he's writing to the Colossian church. He has some concerns for them. And he tells us that here, chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. So we see here Paul is struggling for these guys. Same word in the Greek as fighting. He's fighting for them, struggling for them. Something's going on in their church. He's concerned about them and it. Why is he struggling? He tells us in verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world. Rather, than on Christ. People in the church at Colossae, they were being taken captive. They were being enslaved and made prisoners, not behind bars, but with false teaching that people were giving them. It was hindering their walk with Jesus. Now, what was this philosophy that was enslaving them? How was it enslaving them? Well, it seems in verse 21, people were saying that if you want to be really spiritual, then you've got to live a life where it's heaps, where you've got to fast and you can't eat certain kinds of foods and you can't touch things. They were saying you've got to do all these things to be spiritual, this philosophy that was going on. But Paul makes it clear, it's not a Christian philosophy. And Paul makes it clear that this is going to slow you guys down in the faith. Jesus has done it all and you're adding extra stuff to it. So they're thinking they've got to do these practices to be spiritual. They're being enslaved there. Now, This is Colossians. Galatians, we also hear about people being enslaved. In Galatians, there's people who are going back to the Old Testament law, thinking that they've got to fulfill the Old Testament law to be right with God now and practicing all the commands that were back then. For Colossians, Paul says, your answer to this problem is union with Christ. He says to the Galatians, your answer to this problem is union with Christ. Get that and you're free. Romans, similar thing. Here, Paul's talking about sin. Someone asks him, if we've been saved by grace, does that mean we can just keep sinning? And Paul's answer is, yes, it does matter, because we're not slaves to sin anymore. We're not captive to it. Why? Because we've been united to Jesus. So in this doctrine of union with Christ, there is freedom. It sets us free. Sets us free from worldly philosophies. Sets us free from trying to keep laws and commands to be right with God. And it sets us free from sin that we struggle with in our life. Have you ever felt like you're not good enough for God? Have you ever felt like you've got to do certain things first before you can come to Him? Or have you ever felt like that you've stuffed up so many times? Can God still love you? Are you starting to be taken captive by worldly philosophies and not realizing the freedom we have in Jesus? Have you ever felt like sin has taken you captive? Do you feel like you're a slave to it? You struggle with something and you fall time and time again and you wonder if you'll ever have victory in this area in your life or if that's just how life's always going to be. Do you struggle with anger, have a temper, but just excuse it and say, that's just me, I can't help that. Do you struggle with pornography? Find it hard to stop and you put things in place, but you keep falling. You feel like you're a slave. Are you captive to it? It might be gossip, gambling, alcohol, or do you do all the right things, but your motivation for doing them isn't right? You care what people think about you rather than just doing it in light of what God has done. Well, I think Paul would say, what God says in His word, if you're feeling captive to these things, what you need is a shot of union with Christ. That fixes the problem. This doctrine, it helps us to change. It gives us hope. And whatever we're struggling with, feeling enslaved by, there is freedom. And that's found in Christ. So, I've been going on and on about it. What is it? How does it help us? Let's look some more at Colossians. Colossians verses 9 to 12. Now, if you're heaps smart, you might read these verses and you might just get it and go, sweet, that's awesome. But if you're anything like me, you'll read these verses and go, what the heck is going on here? So, we're going to read through the verses, have a think about it. I want to tease it out some more. And then we're going to come back to them again. So if you don't get it when we read through it now, then that's quite all right. Please read with me chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. So keeping in mind, he's just said to the Colossians in verse 8, don't let anyone take you captive. Now here's why. Verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. So just having to think about that, what he's just said there. He said, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So all of God is in Jesus. And he says, and you have been given fullness in Christ. So we are in Jesus and have been given fullness in him. In him you also were circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. Being in him, when we're in Jesus, our sinful nature is cut off. And having been buried with him in baptism, raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raises him from the dead. So we've been buried with Jesus, we've been raised with Jesus because we're in him. So these are the awesome truths. Here's the knowledge that frees us. But how does it work? How are we in Jesus? John 15, Jesus gives us an illustration of how we're in him. He says in verse 5, John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus is a vine, we're branches. Jesus says, we're like a branch who's in the vine. But how did we get into Jesus? How did we become a vine, a branch in him, the vine? The best explanation I can find is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It says, but because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. It is because of God that you are in him. God somehow puts us in Jesus. I think when we put our trust in him, God puts us in Jesus, then we're in him, one with him. Now, I thought I'd try and illustrate this. So, here's my tree. Tree and vine are like the same kind of thing, all right? So this is like Jesus, who's the vine. So Jesus, first of all, I'll start with a tree. And I'm a horticulturalist, so I love this illustration. So with the tree, right, you've got the roots in the ground before I chopped it down, and it was soaking up heaps of goodness. All the nutrients come up through the roots into the tree and all the water. And just under the bark, there's a layer where it all just flows up and down. All the nutrients flow up this stem and flow in and out of all the branches on here, just like blood running through veins in your body. Just all the nutrients flow up and down in here. Now, Jesus is like this in that everything that Jesus has done and achieved is flowing up and down in him. In Jesus flowing up and down in him is that he's died for us and defeated sin. It's flowing up and down in him, in all his branches in the vine. The fact that he rose again, flowing up and down in him. The fact that he is totally holy. The fact that he is righteous. The fact that he's God's son. Everything he's done, everything that he's achieved, all the way God sees him, all the riches of Christ are flowing up and down in him. They're in him. And then God takes us and he puts us in Jesus. And now when you graft a tree, you make a little cut in the tree, a bit more deeper than that, and you get the other branch. And what you've got to do is get the layer of stuff that flows up and down to line up with the tree. And with the branch here, there'll be a little layer in here. You get them to line up. And then all of a sudden, everything that's flowing up and down in the tree, it flows into the branch. You tie it on tight and they line up. And all the goodness and nutrients just flow into the branch and all through the tree. And that's what God's done with us when he puts us in Jesus. All the goodness of Jesus, that Jesus died, that he rose again, everything that he achieved, it all now flows up and down through us. So we are in Christ. Everything that's in him is in us. What's true of him is true of us. We are one with him. We are in him. And that's what God has done for us. But when you go to graft something, you need to get a healthy branch. If you have a sick branch or a weak branch, it doesn't take. But you know, us, we're not healthy. We're not even sick. We're not even weak. Have a look at verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13. And you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made alive together with him. So we were dead. We were just a dead branch. And God stuck us in Jesus and a miracle happened. What was dead became alive. That's worth praising God for. That's worth getting excited about. We have all of that. And God did a miracle and made us alive. So that's how we are like Jesus in Christ. That's how we are in Christ. So now have a read through with me again, verses 9 to 12, and see if it makes a bit more sense and the riches that are in these verses. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. We've been put into Jesus, and everything that's in him is in us. We've been given fullness in him. In him, where am I up to? I've lost my spot. Verse 10, fullness in him over every power and authority. Verse 11, in him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but done by Christ. When we were put into Christ, that dead branch, he put it off us and we became alive. Verse 12, having been buried with him, and that happened because having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through faith in the power of God. So we died and buried with him because we're in him, and that is all in him. So that's how we're in Christ. That's union with Christ. Now, how did this help the Colossians with not being taken captive to the traditions that they were that people were teaching? How did it set them free? Well, all the fullness of Christ is in them. They didn't need to do anything more. They had everything in Christ because they were in him. So what about for you? If you're thinking, am I good enough? Well, you're in Jesus and all his goodness, his righteousness is in you. What if you're thinking, have I sinned too many times and will God never forgive me? Well, he's died, and so it's the same as if you've died to sin. Everything is in him. The fullness is in him. You are free because you are in Christ. Now, how does that help us with our struggle with sin? It's because we've died with him, and Jesus has died to sin and its power. So have we. And please flip with me to Romans 6, verse 6 to 7. It spells this out so clearly for us there. Just a little tap in Romans now before next week. Verse 6, Romans 6, 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Our old body of sin has been done away with when we're put in Christ. We've died to sin. We're now free from sin. So free. Free in Christ. But what happens if you don't feel very free? What if you are in Christ, but you're still struggling with sin? And you still feel like you're a slave to it? And captive to it. In what sense are we free from sin? There's probably a few senses you could say, but there's two that I just want to talk about now. First of all, we are free from the power that sin has to condemn us. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Because we are in Christ, there is no condemnation. We are free from the condemnation of our sin. Because we've died with Jesus, he's died, no condemnation. So we are free from sin that way. But two, we are free from the power that sin has to keep us slaves. You know, when Jesus first changed my life, back when I was 19, a lot of stuff did change overnight. I wanted to live for Jesus now. My goals changed from wanting to get rich on earth, wanting to store up treasures in heaven. I used to have a really filthy mouth and bad language. And that, for me, that just changed overnight. Why? Because I was in Christ and his power was at work in me. I was no longer a slave to sin. and some stuff just changed. But there's other things in my life which didn't change overnight. There's still sins in my life that I struggle with now. Why is that? How does that work if I'm in Christ? What if you've put your trust in Jesus? You're following to seeking to follow him and serve him, but you're still struggling and don't feel free from sin, whatever that is. So before, no matter how hard we tried, we would be slaves to sin. We were stuck in it. We weren't able to get out of it. But now the power to sin has been broken. The old self has been cut off. We're no longer captives to sin. Sin, it's still there, yes, but not the power to keep us enslaved to it. Now, because we're in Christ, we have the power to change. Only because we are in Christ and because God's power is working in us. So we are free from sin that way. It no longer has the power. Sin's still there, but not the power. We are free, not slaves to sin. So because of this, we're able to kill sin in our life. We are able to change. His power is at work in us. Have a listen to what Paul says in Philippians 3:12. I think he captures it well here. Philippians 3:12. It's a little complex, but have a listen to this. He says, "Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." He says he hasn't obtained it all, he hasn't been made perfect, but he presses on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of him. He is in Christ. In one sense, he's there. But he says, I haven't obtained it. I'm not perfect. I press on to take hold of that which Christ has took hold of me. So Christ has already took hold of him. He's already took hold of us. But he still presses on. He still strives. He still tries to put sin to death in his life. The only reason he can do it is because Christ has took hold of him. And a sign of someone who Jesus has taken hold of is that they do press on to keep taking hold of that which he took hold of us. We are free from sin because Christ has took hold of us. But we must press on putting sin to death. We can only do that because Christ has taken hold of us. So we have freedom there. Sin's still there, but we are free now to have victory in sin. We're not slaves anymore. I'm sure if you've been a Christian for a little while now, you can think about things where you have seen the power of God at work in your life. You have seen victory. You have seen things that have changed. But there's still stuff there that you struggle with. We must press on. That's how God has designed it to work. He's freed us to press on because he's freed us. But we can only do it in Jesus. So now, we've seen that we're in Christ. We've seen that we have all the fullness in him. Now, living in light of that, Colossians then in chapter 3 is the application of that. And I want to just bring out 2 points from chapter 3. In light of union with Christ, in light of our freedom, how do we live? How does it help us when we walk out of the building tonight? Two things. First, look. Second, kill. So how do we be free from sin? We look and we kill. And the Bible does say to kill. First, look. Please have a look here with me at 3:1-4. "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." He's saying, look at where you are now, because you are in Christ, and Christ is in heaven, and he's done it, and he's achieved it. Don't get distracted by earthly things, by things that we struggle with, and by things that take us captive, keep our eyes on Christ, and know that that's our reality too. That we, because we're in him, that's our spiritual reality now. When Christ appears, then it will be our physical reality. We'll appear with him physically. But right now, it's already done. We're in him. It's not a battle that we're fighting to see if we win. It's a won battle. We're in Christ. Look at where we are. Now, you know, when I was back at school, I used to run in cross country. I don't know why, because I used to always be halfway through the track and I'd just be in pain. I'd be thinking, why am I doing this? But whenever I would get near the finish line, I would get faster because I could see the finish line. I could see the goal. Whatever pain I was in, whatever struggle I was feeling, I just would forget about it. And I'd just run faster for the last few hundred metres. It would disappear because I knew I was good as there. Now, this is not like union with Christ, because in union with Christ, we are already there. But it is similar to union with Christ in that knowing we're already there, it helps us. It gives us confidence. We know that we can run faster and harder because we're going to get there. We are there because we're in Christ. So if you're trying to beat sin and you're fighting it, and you know that it's and you fall, you don't stay down because you know that Christ didn't just die, but he rose again, and so you will too. So you're not just trying to kill sin in the hope that you might do it. You kill sin because you know that it will happen. You know that victory is certain. So when we get down, it means we get back up again. We look to him where he is. We don't just fall into despair. So we look to Jesus. We look where he is, and we know that we are there too. So the first thing that we do is we look, and that gives us confidence, that encourages us, and that helps us to press on. The second thing we're told to do, verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. We're no longer dead. So whatever belonged to that, we put it to death now. And then he gives a whole list of sins to put to death. But why can he say put to death? Because we're free in Christ now to live for him. So the sin that does remain in our life, we kill it. We're at war with it. We are called to violence against it. Put it to death. Now, when you're at war with someone, or with something, or I guess when you're just at war in general, you don't just sit back. You don't just sit back. But you figure out a way how you can destroy the enemy. And sin is our enemy. And we don't just sit back. Because Christ has taken hold of us, we press on now and kill that sin that remains. And we can do it because of him. But we have to plan for it. We have to go to war against it. We have to be on our guard against it. If you struggle with pornography, you need to plan to win, to kill the enemy. You need to put accountability software on your computer. You don't just go browsing the internet late at night. You have a friend who you can be accountable to and pray for you. You memorize scripture about it. You take it seriously. You kill it. You're at war. And it's the same for anything that we struggle with, anything that we still wrestle with, anything that's trying to take us captive. We're free, so now we kill it, and we're alive, and we're in Jesus, so we don't live that old way anymore. How can we go on sinning when we're in Christ? We're a new person. We kill the sin that's there, and we can have victory. Because we are in Jesus. So in summing up, all kinds of things can try and enslave us. But we are in Christ. We have all the fullness that's in him. And that gives us freedom. And we can be and are victorious. we look at where we are already, know that reality, set our hearts and our minds on things above, where Christ is, because we are with him. We are hidden in him. And because we're in Jesus and have that freedom now, free from the slavery of sin, what's left, we put it off. We kill it. We get rid of it. And I hope this makes us want to praise God more. He's an awesome God, and the riches we have in Christ is amazing. And I hope this spurs us on to press on, to kill sin and to live for God. Let me close in prayer now for us. Thank you, Father, for your word and for the truths that are in here. Lord, may we take so much comfort and joy that we are in Jesus and that we've died to sin and that we've been raised and that we will rise again when he comes back. And all that because we're in him and we're your son and we're counted righteous and we're now holy. Thank you, Lord, for these blessings that you've given us in him. And Lord, I just pray that we are in Jesus. You would help us to, and that the old self has been put off. Help us to kill the sin that remains, to put it to death, and help us to be more and more renewed as we soak up the nourishing sap that's in Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.